It begins with a house, and it ends in ashes. There's your opening, you think. You can wrap it up and go home now. Phone it in. And you haven't even set foot on the property. But it's true. That is the complete family history. Except, between the building in 1748 and the burning, somebody, or a number of people who weren't supposed to die, died in this house in a disastrous fire on December 5th, 1941. This is all you know, all anybody knows, all there is to be known. The rest is detailed, just local color. Of course, that's why they sent you, to sift through the ashes, to somehow find a bone in the ash, a bone that would unravel a mystery that has stood silent and unbreakable for almost 60 years. You are standing at dawn on the prow of an oyster boat you've hired for the day, moving, trailing a wide wake in a calm black river under a sky the color of unpolished silver to get there. The only boat on the lazy river, the fish running somewhere else, finally to reach the house, the remains of history, the remnants of her life. You are trespassing, even now. The house, barely glimpsed from the prow of the oyster boat where you stand, making its slow way down from Port Royal, the house, even in silhouette, is huge, unimaginably large, four square. Saratoga, the name coming from the old Indian language, means the hillsides of the quiet river, the hunting grounds by the water. It's not as though you haven't done your homework. The house had been modeled after the gigantic house of the Earl of Shaftesbury, St. Giles' house, and though slightly smaller, it was still the biggest house in America, with uncountable rooms and a grandiosity that quickened the heart of all who saw it. The cost was enormous, the first and greatest of many folies de grandeur that left the owners in a state of bondage and near poverty, only redeemed by the labors of, at the most, 900 slaves who picked the cotton and cured the tobacco and boiled the peanuts and, for generations, cleaned up their messes in a silent, sly rage. Robbed of their humanity, these 900 looked at the house from the start and envisioned it in flames, hearing in their wistful hearts the terrible screams of their oh-so-white masters. Not able to flee, sold like dogs in the street, robbed of their children, babies ripped from their mother's arms in Natchez or Memphis. It was a house built on tears. Did four die? Three, or just one? Diana Cook Copperton Cook. Was it accidental or arson, as the inept sheriff's office proclaimed? Whoever was there, the fire burned flesh to bone and bone to ash, and the ash blew into oblivion. If she had somehow lived, she would be 99 years old now. Unlikely, but not impossible. And in the unlikely event that she was alive, where would she be? She was declared dead after 7 years in 1948, and the son took control of what was left of her money, not much, which he used occasionally. But where did the rest go? There was supposed to be a fortune. Fortunes like that don't just disappear, and she couldn't have spent it all. So perhaps there was no arsonist except herself. But inside the doll of her life, there was another, and another, and another, and another, smaller and smaller, all fitting together, and somewhere in the tiniest box was her soul and her affections. There was her son, Ashton, far away, never forgotten for 1 minute, the only thing that made her heart continue beating.